church. Humberto, we're a little bit loud. All right. So, again, welcome everyone. And it's a little bit odd not having John here tonight. So, y'all keep him in your prayers. Him and Kay are on their way. Well, they're not coming back till tomorrow. They're in Austin. They're visiting grandchildren. So, you know, I'm looking forward to some of that. Not yet. Oh. Jesse, chill. You know, Riley posted something this past week on Facebook that kind of got us all a little intense. But it was a joke, thank God. She's not pregnant. I just wanted to make that announcement. See what you get? All right, so the baskets are going through, and raise your hand if you didn't get a bulletin. Right here. I always think you're asking a question. Raise your hand if you didn't get a bulletin. Pens, all that other stuff. It comes with the bulletin, Pete.
I didn't get no pen, baby.
All right, raise your hand. There you go. All right. So, this month we've been talking about no regrets. And as Uncle Bill pointed out in one of our meetings, it's not no regrets is a name of a really good band, but that's not who we're talking about, right? I think about regrets, and you know when we come to this promise and we hear it, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, and I. I have to think, like, how can I not shut the door on it? I don't want to ever think about that stuff again. Well, not regretting it doesn't mean I have to like what happened. I don't have to like what I did. I don't like to build up the things I did. But not regretting it. See, in our minds, a lot of times we think that, well, if I'm not supposed to regret that thing, then I have to be okay with it. That's not necessarily the case. I'm really not okay with some of the stuff I did. But at points, I still have to not regret it. How do we get there? Philippians 3:13-14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, like I said, I think we get confused. Especially when we read scripture like this, it says, forget. Put it out of your mind. Forget one's past. And move forward. It doesn't say regret what lies behind. It says forget. So I had to go get some definitions. And forget, the definition to forget is to put out of one's mind. To cease to think about or even consider. And then regret, it says to feel sad, repentant. Or disappointed. And I felt all those. But if we take regret and put into that scripture where it says forgetting, it says, brothers, I do not consider what I have, that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, regretting what lies behind, feeling sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, or especially the loss of missed opportunity. And straining forward. Wait. We can't stay disappointed, sad. We can't stay in that place and move forward. That doesn't fit in that scripture. It doesn't fit there. Forgetting what lies behind. Put that stuff behind you, then you can move forward. See, it's hard to move forward if you're staying in regret. Hard to move forward if you're staying in regret. Is it okay to feel regret? It's okay to feel regret, but we must not stay in it. Otherwise, we won't be able to move forward. Now, that second part of that promise says we will not wish to shut the door on it. So how can we forget the past but not shut the door on it? Remember the definitions of forget. Putting out of one mind. Putting out of one's mind. So if you're not wanting to shut the door on it, but you've put it out of your mind, how do you recall it? How do you have no regrets about something you've put out of your mind? Someone has to remind you. You know, it's funny. David comes up here every time, and I always have to follow some dramatic lesson that he gives over the communion. But tonight, when he said, "Remember," man, that was. I'm like, "Okay, God, you're working here." But to remember, you have to be reminded. That's what we did with communion. We got reminded. We got reminded of what Christ did for us. So to remember things that we forget, we have to be reminded. I have Teresa. She does a lot of reminding for me. When I got things that that John's asked me to do and I have to be here or there, Teresa lets me know and she reminds me. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. But that's how we remember something that we have forgotten. We are reminded. This is when you can open the door on those regrets. And then have no regrets. But why would we open those doors? Why would we not shut the door on it? That is when you're able to share the experience, strength, and hope. And in my opinion, that is the only time that thing should get a crack in it. That is the only time. Y'all are way back over here. See, Horizon set their seats up differently. And I'm going to have to lean over and get y'all this way. But that is the only time that you should open the door on that is when you're able to share experience, strength, and hope on it. See? After you do that, then you go back. Close the door on that thing. You can't move forward if you're living in the past. There's no way. Okay, I'm going to tell you this story, and this is opening the door on something. And I've told a few people this, and only for good reason. There was a time that I was out on one of my binges, out on a tear, and I've been gone from the house a good while. Trina came to find me, and she located me at this house I shouldn't have been at, and got me outside, and asked me. She had already got herself some recovery by that time, and she had asked me to just come see the kids. See, this is why I do not like to open the doors. It hurts. When you start thinking about the things that you did, she asked me just to come see the kids. They go to bed at night asking where their dad is. I turned around and went back in and told her to get out of here. I went back in and I did more drugs to kill that hurt. And I was able to share that with people. This is the first time I've said it out loud to everybody. But that, why would you want to stay in that? Why would you want to open that door that makes you feel like this? See, I knew telling you this story was going to make me feel like this. Why? Why carry that day in and day out instead of putting it behind you? Thanks, Teresa. Instead of letting that thing go, instead of moving forward, you want to stay seated in that crap. See, I did that. That's something I did. But there's no way I could be right here today without putting that behind me and moving forward. See, this reminds me of many other great men in the Bible. Not that I'm a great man. I'm just other great men in the Bible. All right? And maybe y'all seen... I needed a laugh right there. Thank you. Maybe y'all seen this thing on Facebook. It's gone around. These guys didn't have a great past, but God used them anyway. And Noah was a drunk. Did you know that? Noah was a drunk. Moses was a murderer. David had an affair. We all know about that one. Jacob lied. We had a liar on the list. Rahab was a prostitute. Peter had a temper. Jonah ran from God. I did all that. Martha was just a worrier. And what do you think of when you read, when you hear this list? Do you think these people, they stayed, Noah, well, I'm just a drunk. I can't help you, God. David, I had affairs, and there's no way God can use me. I'm just no good. Well, God, I'm a liar. God, I'm just a prostitute. That's all I know is the streets. No, all these people put their past behind them and strained forward. They moved forward. Then there's one man, Paul, who wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament. 13 books of the New Testament. I don't know if you know Paul's story or not. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, What I say is true. You should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. Okay, Paul, well, what makes you the worst? Well, he used to be named Saul of Tarsus. This guy's job was to go kill people who were following Christ. His job was to go and murder people who were trying to follow Jesus Christ. You might be the worst, Paul. You might win that one. But what happened on the road to Damascus? In Acts 9, 3 through 9, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, remember his name is Saul at this point, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Paul got up. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? The writer of this used Saul. The writer of this used his name Saul all the way until Paul got up. He changed his name. He was no longer that person when he stood up. Paul got up and went from the ground. That's moving forward. But when he opened his eyes, he could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I want y'all to go read the rest of that. This man was transformed and saved on the road to Damascus. His name was even changed. From that point, he did move forward. I believe Paul got up in repentance. He stood up with some regret. He stood up with big regrets of what I've done. Oh my gosh, it's real. Jesus is real. But what'd he do? Forgetting what lies behind, he moved forward. See, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, here's some of the stuff he did and what he says. For what I received, I passed on to you. So he got up and started doing his work. For what I received that day, for what he received that day, has anybody received anything? Amen. Move forward and pass it on. For what I have received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, the worst of these, he appeared to me as one abnormally born. See, when I read that, I underlined abnormally born. See, in recovery, we have a saying, oh, well, you know, they're normies. Really? I want to know who in here believes they're a normie. That's what I, oh, yeah, Travis, you were abnormally born, son. Just telling you. See, I always considered myself a little bit abnormally born. Not all, like, I'm going to conform. If you tell me no, I'm going to try probably not to do what, you know, I'm going to do what you said not to do. Defiance disorder. I mean, I've been diagnosed by Trina with it. Definitely. But the abnormally born thing really struck out to me. Because I don't believe there's any. I don't believe there's any. What is normal? Boring. I heard boring. You know, I believe everybody has a little something. Everybody has a little something. So let's talk about the present. We've talked about past. Let's talk about the present. I never looked at myself this way. My present. This cup says, Pastor. I've been asked to stand up here and speak. A leader, a good dad. You know, one of the things that God did for me when I got into recovery, he made me a stay-at-home dad for a while. My kids were the most important thing to me at that time. I got to get out of that. I can't talk about that some more. But what else he did for me is he made me a youth pastor. Man, I was surrounded by children. Surrounded by kids, man, and some of the best times ever. But if I had let my past, those things that I did, I wouldn't have the present I have now. My present time is everything. See, we're making a past every minute. Amen. See, what we just did up here, that's in the past. You know, we think, well, it's just present. It just happened. No, that's past. We just made some more past. So what are you doing in your present to make a better past? A better past. What are you doing right now to make a better past? One that you don't mind opening the door on. One that you can easily remember. One that you don't have to forget because it's good. What are you doing right now? In Philippians 4 through 9, let's read this. I'm going to slide these on. make it a little bit easier. Let's see. Verse 4. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say it again. Be full of joy. Let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. The Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need. Always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable, right, pure, beautiful, respected. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you. So what are you doing to create your better past? He kind of gave us a list right there. Do these things. Be full of joy. Be full of joy. Be gentle. Be kind. Here's a good one. Do not worry. Do not worry. Pray. Give thanks. Think about the things that are good. Think about things that are true and honorable, right, pure, beautiful, respected. That's how you make a better past. Think about those things. Do those things. See, I have joy. I have joy in my life now. For me, what gives me joy is these kids, man. The real joy is they all follow Christ. Amen. That is the joy. Man, I live in that hope. No, I live in that. Hope. She's awesome. Zach goes to 2 youth groups a week because he can't get enough of it. Jesse's doing amazing things, coming into Overcomers, and it's just awesome. That's what gives me joy. Colton, my son Colton, he's back in church. He's one of them guys who likes the carry. He's got his own concealed carry or whatever it is. He carries it wide open carry. That's it. And so right after that shooting that happened in White Settlement or something like that, his pastor asked him to come have lunch with him, and they asked him to be on the security team there. You know? Man, God can do some real stuff if you forget about the past. Forget about who you was. See, the road I was on, this wasn't going to happen. This wasn't going to happen. And if I stayed in that, oh, well, you know, I'm just old junkie. I'm just an old piece of junk. It's, you know, how could I share that with them? I couldn't. I can't believe the life I have now. That's my present time. I'd like for you to think about your present. What are you doing? What are you doing to create your best present, your best past? What are you doing in the present to create your best past? So, your future. Jeremiah 29:11. See, we always are worried about what's going to happen. And Michael's not here tonight, but I shared with him one time about, you know, one foot in the past and one in the future. What are you doing on today? Don't worry about your future. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I say this because I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. See, what this scripture says to me is stay in my present. stay in my presence. Trusting God, praising God, loving people, loving Jesus. And here's the one hard for abnormally born people. People abnormally born. Do the next right thing. That don't come easy, man. I already said that. If you tell me no, I'm going to do it. So if you don't want me to do something, just don't tell me no. But doing the next right thing doesn't come first instinct to abnormally born people. See, on page 87 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, here's what we, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated. See, not my first deal. Not the first thing that I would do is pause. We pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. See, all those things right there that I just listed off are contrary to the things I just listed off in Philippians. We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. I want to be more efficient in my future. How do I get there? Thy will be done. Leave it up to God. Leave the future up to Him. So, let's sum it up. The past. Forgetting the past until we're reminded so that we can share our experience, strength, and hope. That's where the words "I know" come in. Our present. Living in our present to create our best past. Do those things that's going to create a better past. Our future, doing the next right thing. Remember, thy will be done. See, so some of you may have a few regrets and not know what to do with them. At this time in our service, we have a few guys that have anointing oils and we have these kneeling things here at the stage. Really? You don't have to come forward. See, I grew up in a church where, you know, when it was time for the message to be over and time for everyone to stand and sing, that they would guilt trip you and say, "You need to come forward." And then there would be a guy, you know, the preacher or somebody come sit down, an elder, or sit down beside you, and, "What have you done wrong, son?" You know, and then they want to write it down on the paper. And then they're going to stand up and they're going to confess your sin to everybody else. And see, you don't have to do that. If you want to come and be anointed and let Matthew pray over you or Linda or whoever else is here with some oil and is willing to pray with somebody, that's fabulous. But you don't have to. You can repent right there in your seat. You can ask for forgiveness. You can ask God to help you forget those things in the past. Only remember them when you're reminded, and it's a good, when it's good to bring that up. And then shut that door again. Don't live in it. There's no way you can move forward if you're living in the past. So we're going to go ahead and stand and sing. Thank you, guys.